Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my niggas? PSA Podcast. You already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Three Letter Man. Salutations all, first off, man. Sunday edition, man. You already know what it is. We'll do a little something different today, obviously. Talk a little NBA, obviously. And sprinkling, I see a lot of people appreciating our appreciations, whether it's hip-hop, sports, or actors, or whatever appreciations me and Sean do right now. Let me get the bro in right now. My nigga, what's poppin'?
What's poppin', my G? How you doing?
Shit, I can't call it, man. Let's get right into this, man. NBA, man. Wow, some games to talk about from yesterday, man. Let's set it off with Boston and Miami, man. Celtics won the game last night. That's four in a row for the Celtics. Kyrie, 24, four boards, three assists, 10 for 23 from the field. Kyrie scored the last 9 points. We scored 9 points, pardon me, in the final 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Jason Tatum, 20 points, 5 boards. Marcus Smart, 14 points. Celtics from a team where I thought, man, they might not, I mean, obviously it's still early in the season, but to win 4 in a row, I'm fucking with that. And you know how much I fuck with Kyrie, even though I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, Kyrie is the straw that stirs this drink. Having him as a closer is going to really help that young team because they have somebody who, any given time, can go on a run like he did last night against the Heat and just score and be unstoppable. The great thing about it is Tatum is now getting playing time and is called upon to mature faster as a player. So we're going to see more of Tatum than most rookies because he's out there and he's showing how good he is. So, and being that the Eastern Conference is considered the JV conference, Boston looks like they're right in the ship, and this is what Kyrie wanted. He wanted a show. He wanted to run it. Everybody looks to him as the leader. So far, so good for Kyrie. Kyrie's team right now has a better record than the team he left. So far,
wow.
Kyrie's decision is making him look real good.
Other guys that, you know, you're very high on Marcus Smart. You've been very high on him off air, on air. I watched the game last night with the Heat, man. That dude right there, would you consider him the goon of the Celtics, though?
No. I don't know why he's getting a bad rap as a goon. He's just a tough player. You know what I'm saying? Just a tough
he got
player.
That goon look, though, like, fam. He got that goon look, though, my G.
Nah. When I think goon, I don't even know if I call it goon, but let's talk about the Knicks of the 90s under Pat Riley when they had Oakley, when they had X-Men. Like, I didn't consider those guys goons.
Mace.
I considered them
R.I.P. Anthony Mason.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I consider them tough. I consider Marcus Smart tough. Like, you know what I'm saying? For whatever the reason is, I don't want to call him goon because, you know, that's like a hockey reference to a guy like Ty Domi, a guy who's only
right,
out there
just
to protect your best player. He
can
actually play.
He's like the enforcer, man. He's like the enforcer. It's like double A in wrestling, Arn Anderson, man. Like Kyrie's Ric Flair, and he's Arn Anderson. That's just what Marcus Smart reminds me of, man. You know what I mean?
Okay. Because I think all teams need toughness. Just like the Golden State Warriors have Draymond.
Right.
They need someone who's tough and won't let them be housed. Marcus Smart is that person. Marcus Smart is gritty. He going to get up in you paws. He ain't going to let nobody house him. And all teams need that kind of player.
And also got to show love to Al Horford. He's been balling too. And Rozier been having Jalen Brown been kind of been, you know, not playing like he did the first part of the NBA season, first week of the NBA season, I should say. But yo, Boston 4 in a row, my nigga, got a salute to that. Another game last night, my nigga, Cavs against the Pelicans. Listen, you make no harps about it, my nigga. You hailed Boogie to a high regard, and everyone does. I don't blame you for that at all, man. Well, Boogie, 29 points, 12 boards, 10 assists, triple-double. AD gave you 36 and 14. Drew Holiday 29 points, my nigga. LeBron 18 points, 8 assists. Kevin Love 26-11. Wade off the bench with 15. J.R. Smith in a starting role, 3 points. And both J.R. Smith, Sean, and D. Wade both played 23 minutes.
If the Pelicans get anything from their guard play on any given night, they have a 70% chance to win the game, because every single night the Pelicans play, they will dominate the 4 and the 5. Let me repeat.
Right.
They will
Facts.
Dominate the 4 and the 5. They have Boogie and they have AD. They are dominant players. I mean, if you actually watch what they were doing, Boogie would come down, LeBron would pick him up, and he would just push LeBron out the way and drive straight to the basket. Like, there was nothing they could do with these two guys. If you listen to the commentators from the Cleveland side, they were just like, these guys are just unguardable. They're unstoppable. LeBron James was the 5th best player on the court last night. And what's so funny about that is Nick Wright, one of the biggest LeBron supporters, anytime LeBron has a good game, he will tweet nonstop about LeBron just had a triple-double. He's the greatest player on the planet, blah, 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 blah. He has not even acknowledged that this game happened last night. Like, all of a sudden, no one tweets about LeBron after last night's game. Boogie is coming off of back-to-back triple-double games. Well, not triple-double. He had a dominating game when he went to Sacramento, a dominating game. And then he had a triple-double
back
game.
At the crib. Back at his old stomping grounds. You know how that goes. You go back to your old crib.
That's right.
You kind of want to show out. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing. Teams in the Eastern Conference need to take advantage if Cleveland is going to be having some struggles. Because after the game, LeBron was like, we don't have both our starting point guards, so we got to, you know, he made it clear that there's going to be some struggles. If that's the case, whoever is winning in the East, y'all got to make y'all run now. Do it now. Win is
make
your
my nigga, it's only no, my nigga, it's only October. We ain't even get to Halloween yet. What run are you talking about?
But this is my point. Take advantage. Take advantage.
My nigga, ain't none of them teams in the East coming out the East. My nigga, none of them teams are going to beat Cleveland when it counts. It's not going to happen. None of them. Not Boston, not Milwaukee, not Toronto, not the Wizards. None of them niggas beat.
Okay. All I'm saying is that, you know, me and you in our lifetime have never seen a single individual player go to 8 straight finals. That's what LeBron would do if LeBron goes again this year. So we're saying something that me and you in our lifetime have never, ever seen is just going to keep happening. Like, he's just going to go to the finals every single year and nobody can do anything about it. I mean, at this point, we'll find out. Losing Kyrie Irving was a big deal, which is why LeBron James is running around calling him the kid, the kid, the kid. Well, he looked like no kid last night in the last 2 minutes against Miami. He didn't look like no kid. He looks like somebody who's running the show as a leader of a team of young people. That's what he looks like. So
why do you, sir, why do you sound like you got Boston beating Cleveland if it came down to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I'm loving the NBA, and I'm saying early season games matter. That's all I'm saying.
They matter.
Yeah, they matter. To me, they matter.
Why do they matter?
Because when you get to the midseason and the injuries start kicking
82 games in a season, my nigga. We don't really start like cracking down to after the All-Star break. These NBA guys, like,
okay.
You know that shit. Come on.
Okay. Well, I the players definitely disagree with you because the players are going all out. You know, if you tell me what is Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins doing, are they playing for real? Yeah. If you watch Golden State when they were down by 18 and they made that comeback against the Washington Wizards, was they playing for real? They was. So to me, the NBA players are going all out. They're not on quote-unquote cruise control. Let me just score 18 points because I'm going to be called the best player in the NBA all season and I don't have to prove it. That must be something great to have, to just cruise throughout an entire season but be called the best player every night on national television.
To a nigga like me, you can't do that.
I would say this, though. Alvin Gentry has to make this work, doesn't he? With Boogie and AD.
My man, I agree with you 1,000%. You cannot.
Like, he has to make that work.
You cannot have two guys in the prime. One is in his prime. One still has not reached his prime, and that's AD. And you see how dominant AD is. These guys are so dominant at their position. My guy, if you have a guy like Jrue Holiday who scored 29, that's simple. Just get one guard to do
Berg.
Anything.
And remember now, Sean, they're playing without Rondo now. They got Rondo. He hasn't even played yet. He's still hurt.
And I really believe Rondo is really going to right the ship in terms of keep it going. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah, because he's a quarterback. He's a quarterback, so to speak, on the basketball field. Rondo's not worrying about scoring 15 points. He don't care about that. You know, he's more concerned about giving eight dimes and playing good defense, right, and getting a couple steals and quarterbacking that squad. So, yo, your dark horse team, the Pelicans, I'm fucking with them, my nigga. I'm fucking with them. You know what I mean?
Gentry has to show me something. He has to, my G. He has to. Alvin Gentry has to.
To me, what kind of coach can say, I don't want this? Because I hear people, a lot of people say, oh,
right.
Boogie and AD, they're the same player. You need to trade one of them. You have two of the best big men. You have one and one A big man in the NBA on the same team, and they're multi-talented. They both can shoot the outside jump shot. They both can go outside. So they're interchangeable. You got to make this work. You got to.
Are you saying you sign Boogie to what he wants and then just build around AD? I mean, every team has superstars, all the elite teams, OKC, Golden State, Cleveland. Everybody's running this fucking, you know, three superstar team roster. So to have two guys, AD and Boogie, I guess you got to make that work. But how much accountability does AD and Boogie have to have for themselves? Alvin Gentry can't play for them.
AD, because of his injuries, has been getting a media pass because they like him. AD was a first-team All-NBA last year because he had a great year. And Boogie was third-team, or he wasn't even on the third, or he didn't make no team. That's ridiculous. They put up the same exact stats last year. Both teams didn't make the playoffs. But yet AD, by the writers, they consider him first team and not Boogie. So that just goes to show you how much I don't respect NBA writers and NBA media because they have a personal agenda against certain players. But how long are we going to just let AD be in the league, be considered the best big man with nothing to show for it? He has one playoff series and they're out in the first round when Steph Curry destroyed him. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's his only playoff appearance.
It's tough,
I've been
it's tough when you're the AC. It's tough when you're the AC, then you got to play the first seed. Being Golden State Warriors, my nigga, that's got to be a tall order, though. But, you know, I hope they build around him.
Here's the thing about being a great player. When you're considered the great player and the best player in the league, this is what makes you great. What makes you great is when you elevate your team. So there has to be accountability, in my opinion. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Another team last night got their first loss of the young NBA season. They were 4-0 at one time. It is the Los Angeles No More Chris Paul Clippers getting their first loss against the Detroit Pistons. Kind of say, man, early after five games, even though they got their first L last night, fam, Clippers looking good, man, without Chris Paul. Even though they probably 4-1 too. But if Chris Paul was there too, also, so let's not. Honestly, I know niggas don't like Chris Paul, but I'm not gonna say they wouldn't have the same record if Chris Paul wasn't here. So I don't want to do that. Talk to me when the Clippers get to the playoffs and see what they do.
Well, when you say talk to me with the Clippers and see what they do, I'll talk to you about the Clippers when they had Chris Paul, and I'll tell you what they did. They never got out the second round, and they would go into the first round, and they'd lose.
A lot of that times, it's not a sport, though, fam. Blake Griffin didn't play one time. As good as DeAndre Jordan is even that he's not even a great player. He's not great. He's a great rebounder. He has to depend on Chris Paul to throw ollies and shit. Come on.
Well, he got 19 rebounds without Chris Paul the other night.
He seems to be happy without Chris Paul. There is no come on. I watched a Gordon Hayward-led team last year.
Put some respect on Chris Paul's name, my nigga.
No. It's not
because you like the shit. Niggas like you. Niggas like you like the shit on Chris Paul. You, the Skip Bayless of the world. Y'all niggas like the shit on him all the time.
If I'm gonna highlight Chris Paul's actual record, how is that shitting on him? How dare you highlight that a Gordon Hayward-led team beat the Clippers? How dare you highlight that? That's not fair. How dare you highlight the fact that Chris Paul has never played out of the second round in his entire career?
My nigga, it's five on five. He doesn't play the two guard, three, four, and a five, my nigga.
My point is, players are judged by elevating their team.
My nigga, if I go to fight niggas and niggas ain't coming out and fight, what the fuck am I supposed to do if I'm the only one fighting Dolo?
Yo, my
we're
man,
not gonna
so
act like
exactly
Blake Griffin, sometimes MIA on a milk carton box, sometimes during the playoffs when he lost them games and shit. Let's be clear, my nigga. You're gonna tell me
so let's be
numerous
clear
times
about
you didn't
let's
sit during the playoff series and be like Blake Griffin. You do know this is the playoffs, my nigga, right? Like you do know this, right?
Let's be clear. The best player on the Houston Rockets is James Harden. Does anybody have any problem with me saying that? Does anybody
no,
have any problem with me saying James Harden
no,
is
I don't
better
think
than
I have a problem team. Saying that.
Okay.
But what are we saying better, though? Better in what, though? In, I mean, come on.
As a team leader? As a team leader? As
a
shooter? As
a team
player,
leader?
And as a playmaker? As a playmaker, to me, James Harden is better than Chris Paul. Everybody's getting at me on Twitter because I said DeRozan was better than Klay Thompson. So now you niggas going to get
yeah,
at me
you're
when I tell
dust.
You James Harden. Wait a minute. When I tell you James Harden is better than Chris Paul. James
yeah,
Harden
but the way you use the word better, it's like you're trying to say Chris Paul is not elite.
Basketball player. James Harden is a better basketball player than Chris Paul. James Harden, who has been a top three, top two MVP runner-up for the last 5 years.
Not the last 5 years. You're bugging the fuck out. Not the last 5 years. You're fucking bugging out. Not the last five. Knock it off. When he was playing with Dwight Howard, he wasn't top two at fucking MVP voting. Knock it off, my nigga. Knock it the fuck off.
This is not a debate. Yo, my nigga, Chris Paul's been in the city while you do that.
Oh, boy.
I mean James Harden.
There we go.
I mean James Harden. So stop it. You like these marginal fucking players who don't win.
Wait a minute. You're putting wait a minute. You're putting marginal and Chris Paul in the same sentence, my nigga? Really?
You
marginal?
Are fucking right, because I'm judging him. When you think you're great like Chris Paul thinks he's good, you get out the second round. Fuck is niggas talking about?
So,
get out the all right,
let me ask you
round,
a question. Wait a minute. Chris Paul was never one of the top guards in the NBA at one particular time? Like, niggas did not consider him the best point guard before?
There was one time, here's the thing, there was one time I considered him the best point guard. There was a time when it was Chris Paul and Darren Williams. They considered Chris Paul and Darren
ask
Williams.
Kobe Bryant. Ask Kobe Bryant if he wasn't tight. Chris Paul didn't come to L.A., my nigga. Ask Kobe that.
Listen. The fuck are you talking about? Chris Paul hasn't
the fuck you mean I'm talking about? I'm telling you, nigga. Ask fucking Kobe Bryant if he wasn't mad at Chris Paul that David Stern did some fucking Fugazi shit and didn't bring that nigga on the team. What is he talking about?
All right, my man. I'm not going to talk about somebody who never got second round of NBA. I'm not going to do that no more. He's accomplished nothing. That's done. All right? And he's not
so,
better than James Harden.
What has Westbrook accomplished? So on. Westbrook's accomplished more than Chris Paul?
Hold on. I will not
minus the MVP. Minus the MVP voting.
I will not dignify
yes, nigga, yeah,
that
boy.
Question. I will not dignify you even trying to compare Chris Paul to Russell Westbrook. The Russell Westbrook had a triple-double by half yesterday when him and Carmelo, Clay Mello, got busy on that bum-ass Chicago team.
Chicago Bulls.
The same Chicago team that LeBron James...
The Bulls are trash. On. Let's not plug the fucking Bulls. They play the fucking Bulls, my nigga. Let's slow down.
Are you
Let's
right?
slow down, all
and
right?
The same... And it's the same bull that when LeBron James had a triple-double on, everybody went crazy. Nick Wright is tweeting all day. Everybody's leading all their national sports talk shows about fucking LeBron against a bum-ass team. Anyway,
You're going to have to put some fucking respect on Chris Paul's name, my nigga.
You're
going to have to put some respect on Chris Paul's name. Because Melo, truth be told, even though Melo is in OKC, that nigga wanted to play with Chris Paul. Let's be clear. He wanted to play with that nigga. Okay?
I'm glad you just ethered yourself. Because he chose to play with Westbrook over Chris Paul.
No, it's not chose. He didn't choose. No, it didn't.
What happened?
It was more like the Knicks did not want Ryan Anderson. It's more like the Knicks did not want to take on Ryan Anderson's contract, which they were smart or not picking up. Okay? So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Chris Paul is still elite. I don't care what you tell me, my nigga. Oh, he didn't get up the second round. So when Kevin Durant was struggling all them years, he couldn't get back to the finals after 2012. What were you saying about KD? What the fuck
Kevin
were you saying
Durant,
about KD,
I wasn't
right?
saying nothing about KD. Yo, guess what? Stop comparing accomplished players to a player who never got a second round. You're playing yourself.
Chris Paul got accomplished?
Accomplished players to a guy who never got the second round. Just stop.
Wow, the disrespect for Chris Paul is wow.
Total disrespect.
I don't even know.
Ain't better than Curry. Ain't better than Westbrook. Ain't better than Kyrie. Not better than Dame Lillard.
This nigga's wilding the fuck out. Age and nutrition, I got to him also, my nigga.
Look how great the Clippers are playing without him. I've never seen.
My nigga, with his early in the season,
so happy.
They would have probably had the same fucking record, 4-1.
Guess what? He's not coming down, dribbling the ball for 15 seconds, and then screaming on DeAndre Jordan, and then DeAndre Jordan's crying.
He
gets signed by Dallas.
Crying like a little girl. Who the fuck crying? Because Chris Paul probably telling the man up,
and you
dropping tears? Cry me a fucking river, DeAndre Jordan. The fuck out of here.
We're talking about Chris Paul after 5 games in the NBA season, and he hasn't done a motherfucking thing. I got to salute him on that. The fact that we've actually gotten a segment of me and you talking about him, and he hasn't done a motherfucking thing this year.
He's hurt, my nigga.
That's
hurt. Okay?
That's impressive.
Which means incredible. You don't think the Rockets miss him? Is that what you're implying?
They don't look like – I'm not implying it. I'm telling you they don't miss his ass because they're not playing like they miss his ass. They still winning.
I could tell you, James Harden, you can still use a floor general like Chris Paul on your team, my nigga. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
Okay, all right. Have fun with him.
Yeah. All right, my nigga. The Lonzo watch again. Lakers lost another game to the Utah Jazz. Lonzo ball numbers. It's just one word I could use it. Ugh. So what are we doing, my nigga? They picking up once again all these rookies and. I don't even see this nigga beating out Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year. I don't even see that shit. Or Tatum, or Larian Fox, or Monk, or none of these other niggas, man.
Let me tell you what was so fascinating about last night's game. Utah had a rookie who was starting in the backcourt, and he showed the fuck out. What was that dude's name? They had this rookie dude. Who was
Mitchell?
Mitchell. This dude is dunking. He's shooting threes. He's taking Lonzo at will. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? If Lonzo Ball is going to play passive, if he's going to play in a non-aggressive way, if he's going to listen to Magic Johnson and just let the game come to him, because that's Magic said. Magic tells him. Magic always makes it clear. I told him he doesn't have to score. He just has to win games and make his teammates better. That's how they want to judge Lonzo. You can already see that the NBA pundits are giving him built-in excuses. Chris Broussard, who all of us know, is already saying, well, Chauncey Billups didn't become an all-star. His first 5 years wasn't that good. Gary Payton only averaged 8 points his first year. And that is the kind of storyline. They're already giving him a narrative and a shield for a lackluster first season. But here's what they're not telling you. Lonzo Ball's out there. He played 35 minutes.
Damn.
My dude, you got to do something. You can't be out there with these minutes with no productivity. You got Cowherd and Skip Bayless talking, well, what he does to the team doesn't show up on a stat box. You know,
I ain't running with that. Yeah.
They're creating a narrative on him because the NBA went all in. They're putting all these games on TV because of him. And while they're doing this, on the East Coast, there's another rookie. And trust me, the Lonzo talk is going to stop real soon if this other rookie keeps playing the way he's doing. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, what's to talk about? What is to talk about? We talk about Lonzo, he ain't do nothing. So,
I hear you, Lonzo, but when you get all those games on TV, my G, and everywhere you go, it's what's Lonzo doing. My nigga, every show we've done since Summer League, we've been talking about Lonzo Boss in Summer League, son.
You're right.
Me and you did a Summer League segment on Lonzo Ball. Slow that down again. A Summer League. We would never talk about Summer League players, my dude. But we talk about Lonzo Ball in Summer League. So he's going to get the press.
So here's the thing now. Let's go to the East Coast. Let's go to Philly. Talk about how Ben Simmons is playing. So
rookie of the year.
On two of our last shows, me and you argued because I said Ben Simmons was great. You were like,
great? He's not great yet.
You calling Ben Simmons great. And I told
yes.
you, I said Ben Simmons is great.
The not
eye
yet.
Test that people like to throw on. You can clearly see there's greatness with him. That's what he has. My man, when you watch Ben Simmons play, you can honestly not know if he's left-handed or right-handed. He drives both ways. He shoots with both hands. He lives with both hands. He's a complete ambidextrous player. You know who's another ambidextrous player who's great? His name is LeBron James. LeBron James writes with his left hand, but he shoots with his right. LeBron can do everything with both hands. Just like Ben, so impressed by what I see with Ben Simmons, because not only is he winning games for them now, but you see
how shortchanging Embiid, my nigga. Like Embiid ain't out here.
So you bring Embiid's name up and give him his props. I have nothing but respect for Embiid. I have no respect for Embiid.
Okay,
I'm just telling you that Ben Simmons is blowing my mind because we've never seen him play in the NBA. And he's already.
Well, Embiid had 23 points, 9 boards last night. I just want to highlight that, okay? Just want to highlight that.
Listen. He does not have the skill set of Ben Simmons, but he has a different skill set. He's a much better shooter. He is a much better post player than Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid is a destroyer, and he can be. I think the only thing that stops Joel Embiid from being greater than he is right now is his mentality and his maturity.
I agree.
Very immature in his mind.
Well, when you say maturity, what do you mean maturity? What's he doing that's immature, though?
I think he takes too many three-pointers, even though he can make them.
He can make them, though,
and
my nigga.
I know that. And I think he fancies himself as he can also be a guard, too. See, I think he believes he can do everything Ben Simmons can do, but more, which is true. He can shoot.
I don't think he thinks he can dribble the ball off the court and set niggas up and drive that wheel at the paint.
I think he does. And I think but this is what I think he does not really realize. Joel Embiid is unguardable in the paint, in the post. If that man gets it and it's one-on-one, there's nothing anybody can do. I mean, he had Noel's on him, Noel's, whatever, but that dude is 7 foot, and he treated him like a toothpick. Like, if he wants to and you just call his number, if you call Joel Embiid's number 10 times in a row in the paint and just give it to him, my man could be looking like Akeem. So if you want to know how I feel about Embiid, I feel Embiid has Hakeem Olajuwon potential. But the only reason why it's not going to get there, in my opinion, because he really loves shooting his three-pointers. He really looks at Porzingis. He looks at Boogie Cousins. He looks at Dirk. And he says, I'm like that too, but I can also play in the paint. So that's my point when I talk about his maturity.
I want to throw in there. Fultz is out another 3 weeks.
Fultz clearly had something wrong with his shoulder and his shooting arm, based on the conflicting reports.
But Philly,
they don't need him, son. Let's be clear. Do they really need him? I mean, they're 2-4 in 6 games. But do they really need him?
The guy was the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Anthony Bennett was the first pick in the draft. That don't really mean nothing, bro.
Okay.
But the Cavaliers. All right. Just saying.
Okay. You know? Number one pick doesn't mean anything. I don't know how to debate that. So I won't debate
it. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything. Was it Michael Olowokandi? Michael Olowokandi was the first pick. I mean, there's a lot of niggas that was first picks and they were bust, NFL or the NBA, my nigga. That's all I'm saying.
And there's a lot of niggas that were first picks and they were great. You know, like Allen Iverson, like LeBron James, like Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, like those kind of guys. Like Ben Simmons.
Of course.
Irving. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Facts.
No, I'm just saying. My point is, I want Marcus Fultz to come back and score because I really want to see a full Philly team to see what they could do.
Okay.
Let me just say this in case anybody wants to debate it. Ben Simmons is better than Lonzo Ball. Anybody want to debate that?
Who's going to debate that?
Ben Simmons
is better than Lonzo Ball. Who's really going to debate that,
niggas
though? That's kind of like a
debate. Niggas
will
debate anything. Niggas will debate anything. So I'm putting it out there. Ben Simmons is better than Lonzo Ball.
Okay. All right, my nigga. Let's do something different. A lot of times people are appreciating our appreciations. I've noticed since we've done appreciations, people say they love our appreciations, but how come we haven't focused on a battle rapper appreciation? Now, before y'all kill us for this appreciation, because right now I know this individual's name, sometimes leaves a bad taste in your mouth like Guinness. But for us to set off a battle rap appreciation, I don't think we could just start with other dudes without saluting this person first. Now, you know how we do appreciations, the pros and the cons. It is what it is. My nigga, I say Murder Mook. You say what, my brother?
Smack DVD era battle rap legend. Murder Mook is a Smack DVD battle rap legend, and he played a very, very important part of the DVD mixtape era of the mid-2000s. Murder Mook was very prominent in the hip-hop culture because of his contribution to battle rap in the DVD era.
What was the first battle you seen from Murder Mook?
The first battle I seen from Murder Mook, when I saw a guy I'd never heard of before, and I was looking at my nigga at the time, Jay Mills.
Okay.
Because on one of the early Smack DVDs, Jay Mills battled Syed Castro. The reason why I knew who Jay Mills was is because Jay Mills had battled on Making Up the Band. And that mesmerized me, his battle on Making Up the Band, because when he battled E-Neff, I said, wow, this dude from Harlem is flawless. I'd never heard of him before. So Jay Mills had the name. So here we are. I'm watching Smack DVD like I do, all my hip-hop DVDs, and I'm watching Jay Mills battle some nigga I'd never heard of before. Just some nigga with a regular shirt, no hat on. And that was the first time I ever saw Murder Mook. And to be fair to Murder Mook, because I had no idea who he was, I was 100% supporting Jay Mills. Like, yeah, Jay Mills is battling some no-name, and I'm going to ride with Jay Mills. So I went into that just thinking this is Jay Mills getting ready to wash him. So it was a great back and forth, but I still gave that battle to Jay Mills. No question about it, I gave that battle to Jay Mills. No question about it. Jay Mills was just, you know, he was just that dude during that time. There's no shade to him. Little did I know that Mook was going to become a major part of the hip-hop culture and my battle rap culture for the next 4 years. He was going to become, like,
very important. Because remember, this is 03 when I see this. And his battle with Sirius Jones was in 06. So that run, Murder Mook was, he was a part of my everyday hip hop, you know, vocabulary.
His battle with Party Audie. What you thought about
what
that?
Another, I that was, that is when I had to understand that I was a big Party Audie fan. I used to listen to Party Audie.
R.I.P. Party Audie, right quick.
Lord Finesse. I listened to the Party Audie rhyme with Lord Finesse, Big L. He used to be on these doo-wop mixtapes. He had some fire. Like, I got a lot of Party Audie because I used to get these mixtapes.
A lot of people don't know that, though, Sean, that Party Audie actually did a lot of music.
See, and that's the thing that's crazy. Because I was bugging when I saw Party Audie. I'm like, yo, that's Party Audie. Party Audie is a rapper. And he's dead nice. Now, mind you, got to understand, this is 2003, and I was listening to Party Audie in 1995. Okay? Not so long ago, I was listening to Party Audie. So I've been listening to Party Audie. So when I seen him, I knew exactly who he was, and I knew he was nice. So when I seen him battling Mook, I was like, oh, Party Audie going in on this little nigga. Like, because this is another, I know who Party Audie is, and I just see Mook again. But Mook showed me something in that battle. Well prepared. Broke him down. Mook showed me a part of battle rap I'd never seen before. The research, the personals. You could almost say he was taking battle rap into a different era with that battle because he was just doing it differently. He was breaking Party Audie's name down. He was like, something, Audie. You wait a minute. Like I really was watching him break a rap legend down, a Bronx veteran legend. That's who Party Audie is. This wasn't no nobody, nigga. This was someone who is known in the streets as Dead Knight. And Mook, I'm looking at this young nigga. Mook might have been 19 at the time or 20.
Yeah, he was a young boy.
And I'm looking at him go ham. So then I become a Murder Mook fan. I'm like, I like this dude. I like what he's doing to battle rap. Like this is fun to watch. This is fun to watch this nigga battle niggas. So right there, I'm like, okay, he's here. I know who he is now, and I fuck with him.
And then obviously, Sean, the infamous battle with Loaded Lux with 17 rounds, it felt like they were battling for. People always say that's a certified classic. Is it a certified classic because of the timing it was at the time and that nostalgia, and you can't ever get that back?
Well, here's another thing. This is why the battle's historical. I had never heard about Loaded Lux. I never knew who he was. I knew who he was because
also.
He battled Mook. I knew
right.
who he battled because of Mook. So now Mook is the guy I know, and now it's like, okay, Mook is battling niggas. Because now I'm like, oh, I know Mook is nice. One of the funny things about that battle is there's a shorty in that video, in that store. She has a red leather jacket. That was the style in New York at that time, especially for Uptown and the Bronx and Harlem. Everybody had that leather jacket on. I swear to God, everybody had it on. And when I watched that battle, I'm like, this is the complete essence of street hip-hop culture. This battle, you battling, you got shorties there, they laughing, like this was real, like it was the essence of everything that I think hip hop was. Loaded Lux had a weird style to me. I was like, yo, this dude rhymes mad different. Like I had to get used to it because I'd never seen, you know, it was, I had to get used to it because Mook was just spazzing. But Lux, like I watched that battle so many times because I said, okay, I gotta try to get with this dude's style because it's so unorthodox, but he clearly seems like he's dead nice too. And you know, there's a behind the scenes story on that. Smack was looking for another person to battle Mook, and he was asking around. And Corey Guns told him, he said, yo, you want to get somebody, you got to get the nicest battle dude. It's this nigga named Poppy. Poppy is Loaded Lux. And
that's
his
name.
The Loaded Lux battle. So that was a big deal to me. So at this point, Mook is synonymous with battle rap to me. By the Loaded Lux battle, he is synonymous with battle rap to the point. That battle was so influential and impactful to me, I started buying their mixtapes. Like, so Mook had these street mixtapes out. Loaded Lux had a mixtape out. I would just get them as soon as I saw it because they were so nice with their battle rapping that I was like, I got to hear how these guys sound over a beat. You know what I'm saying? So Mook at this point was solidified. Like, he was completely, and at this point, everybody in hip-hop and in the industry had their eyes on him. Like, this nigga is that nigga right now. Like, I think everybody in hip-hop who followed Street DVD was a fan of Mook by the time he battled Loaded Lux.
Now, if you also look at it also, when Mook was coming up, and you go back to the old DVD RN shit, when he wanted to battle Cassidy, remember, he's outside with him and Rex and a bunch of other niggas and shit. I don't think they were really screaming Dot Mob at the time, even though they did Dot on Your Head. It's funny, when Mook battled Sirius Jones and he Dot on Your Head, Dot on Your Chest, Dot on Your Thing, and now they call themselves Dot Mob, it all makes sense. But the time when he battled, when he wanted to battle Cassidy, it's funny because you fast forward now, fast forward years into the culture, everybody wants to battle Mook. Well, Mook wanted to battle Cassidy, and Cassidy's fronting on him. Did you ever want to? I don't know about you, but in that era, I wanted to see Mook and Cassidy get it popping.
That was such a. Let me tell you how. So, by this time, when Mook and Cassidy were going back and forth on the DVDs, that meant everything to me, man. I loved it. So, you got to imagine, this is a hip hop era where I have to play a DVD and just keep going back because I'm listening to. Mook say, you know, 20 dirty niggas in the background. You know, I wanted it. You know, he would talk. He said, yo, I got that 20 stacks for you. He wanted that battle. Me personally, I wanted to see that battle real badly. Like, that was a battle I really wanted to see. And this is a very important moment in hip-hop culture because it's going to segue to when we talk about current Mook. But this time, Mook was chasing Cassidy. Cassidy
facts.
Knew Mook was nice.
Super facts.
Cassidy felt the heat, but for whatever the reason is, Cassidy had already had a successful hip hop album. Cassidy was a successful mainstream rapper.
Let's be real, my nigga. It didn't make sense for Cass to battle Mook at that time when he's doing music and shit, because you don't want to be stuck into that battle rap mode type thing. You know what I mean?
See, here's the thing: because it was new, we don't know. All I'm gonna say is I don't know because I wanted to see that battle. I was not one of those guys saying. Why did not battle? And I was like, yo, Cassidy was like, nigga, gotta have 20 stacks for me to battle and all this kind of stuff. Well, Mook got the money. Mook had the money. And Mook wanted the battle. The reason why I know Cassidy felt that pressure, because Cassidy made response freestyles going back at him, right? He made response freestyles going back at him. So in Cassidy's heart, this is something he felt that he wanted to do.
That's what he said. Why would I battle niggas? Why would I be scared of niggas to battle with a style that I made up or something to that effect? So,
yeah. So to me, I wanted to see it. Like, I really wanted to see it because I was straight up Mook. This was where hip hop was during this period. And I wanted to see that battle badly. I mean, badly. And what happened during this time is that the battle rap scene started blowing up. So you can say Mook's influence on how popular his battles were, because then every hip-hop DVD started having a battle on it. And guys started making their names. Guys in Fight Club started making their names. The guys who were battling on 106 and Park started making their names, where these battle rappers were becoming very big components of hip-hop. So Jin popped off. Sirius Jones popped off. Now, these guys popped off. This is all after the Mook or during the Mook Loaded Lux era. So I give Mook credit for his popularity and how people wanted to see him with a resurgence and how people love battle rap. Like, I will credit him on that because then it made people want to see Gems. And then it made me, like, want to see Sirius Jones and love
him.
Like,
let's be honest. Did he father a lot of niggas?
Yes. Yes, he did. I will say this. first generation URL. Mook fathered that. There's no way to say he didn't. And the reason why you know he fathered it, because every single person from the next class after him wanted to battle him. Ein Solomon, Math, Averb,
right.
All of
mm-hmm.
them.
Calico, all
Arsenal,
niggas.
Arsenal, every
yeah.
single person who came directly after Mook, in their heart of hearts, they feel their battle rap career is incomplete without battling him. And I feel it's the reason why it's that way is because of his impact during the DVD era. And that's leading us up to the Sirius Jones battle.
Now,
so what should
I make no bones about it. I had Mook winning that 2-1. Classic battle.
Okay, so that battle, to me, was the culmination and apex of Mook's career, to me. That, like, stamped.
Even though some people had Sirius Jones winning that battle, but I had Mook winning that 2-1, though.
Yes,
I don't
that's,
know how you
that's a debatable battle, but the anticipation of that battle, I mean, this was, I can honestly tell you, everybody wanted to see that battle. Everybody wanted to see that battle. And the fact that Mook took that battle, it shows you Mook wasn't afraid to battle people.
But it made sense. It made sense in the battle series, Jones, because that era right there also, my nigga, position was very small. You know what I'm saying? It was a small sample size of a lot of niggas that we knew about. I'm not talking about niggas that battle on the block, per se, but niggas that was on the Smack DVDs and niggas that we knew about. You know, obviously, you had other niggas also, Rex, X Factor, Midwest Miles, before Midwest Miles, it was Young Miles. You know what I'm saying? So it was a small sample size. So it made sense to me for Mook and Jones to battle.
I thought that was a great battle. I thought Mook's three written were perfectly great written three rounds. I thought Sirius Jones showcased why he is a – I thought what Sirius Jones showcased in 2006 is why Sirius Jones in 2017 can still battle anybody and make it a debatable or win. The reason why you have to say anybody is because just look at Sirius Jones' battle rap career. Since then, he's not battling
niggas that he probably wants to really battle, though. Let's be clear, though. I mean, come on.
Well, he battled Charlie Clips. He battled Arsenal.
Yeah,
you know
what else?
No.
That Arsenal battle was trash.
He's battled Disaster. But this is the point I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to shit on Sirius Jones' legacy. I'm trying to highlight the fact. But that battle against Highlight, why Sirius Jones is so difficult to beat. He was ill in that Mook battle. When he started freestyling and incorporating Rex into the battle, talking about his shoes and all that shit, that shit was live. I looked at that and respected it. I didn't know about no Charlie Clips at that time. I didn't know about no Hollow or Don. I didn't know about no DNA. But you know who I knew about? I know about Sirius Jones. Because he was the one going off the top. He was the one doing rebuttals. He was doing that before these other niggas. That's facts. On the battle rap scene, niggas argue me that all day. I'm just talking about what I saw. I heard of Sirius Jones.
I still got Mook in that battle.
Fine, but that was a classic moment for hip hop. That was
right.
A classic moment. And I also felt that was the ending that ushered in the ending of the DVD era, because Smack put that one specifically. He made it retail. He put it in the stores, even though the streets had it.
Word.
You know, I got to sit off the streets. But that's when he completely, you know, tried to get paid legitimately off of his DVD stuff. So I believe Mook, an essential pivotal role in the DVD era. Most influential.
Now, go ahead, most influential.
No, he was the most influential battle rapper between 2000, I would say between 2003 and 2006, Murder Mook is why a lot of the first generation 2009, 2010 battle rappers, Murder Mook is why they wanted to battle rap. Hitman Hollis says it. They all want to battle him. Math wants to battle him. Arsenal wants to battle him. These guys all want to battle because that's the guy they wanted to test their pen with. They were like, oh, we know he's the nicest, but we nice too, and they never got the opportunity. But before we even get to that, we can get to the young hot shit.
Now, that's exactly where we're going. So we know our cause. We know the history already. Now, the young hot battle, memory serves me right. Originally, he was not supposed to battle young hot. I believe it was supposed to be Reed Dollars. Somebody said that didn't happen, and he washed Young Hot 3-0, the Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan reference, of course. That's a very legendary line that we know about. So he cleaned up Young Hot. Now, does Mook get a lot of props for beating a Young Hot? A lot of people say, oh, you beat Young Hot. That was a nobody. But you can only battle the niggas they put in front of you. You know what I'm saying? How much credit or popping collar do we give Murder Mook for beating Young Hot? Even though niggas say Young Hot was dope in Philly, so I don't know.
So here's how we judge it. What is Young Hot's status in battle rap? How does the battle rap community view or judge Young Hot's contribution to battle rap?
In my Young Hill's voice, smack, who is that nigga? That's how people probably look at it.
And that's how I look at it. That's how you look at it. That's how a lot of people look at it. Beating Young Hot and not beating Reed Dollars or Enes. Enes was on that card. Enes was on that card.
Right. Out of my song.
You didn't beat the A-list from Philly during that era. You didn't battle the Philly A-list battle rappers. You battled some nigga nobody ever heard of outside of Philly. And
he didn't battle Tech N9ne. He didn't battle Reed Dollars.
He didn't battle Hollow Man. Come on. So you didn't even battle first, second, third, fourth tier. You battled Young Hot, who may have had a name in Philly, but that name did not ring bells outside of Philly. The names you mentioned had already made a battle rap name for themselves. So,
but it's not his fault. It's not his fault. Him and Reed Dollars.
No.
It's not his fault. Him and Reed Dollars didn't go down though.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. But in terms of the credit, what kind of credit do we give Mook for bodying him? Okay, Mook, you beat who you're supposed to beat. But here's the NBA analogy. Are we going to give props to Golden State? Are we going to give props to OKC because last night they blew out the Chicago Bulls? You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not going to do that. No.
So I was, because I wanted to see Mook and I was thinked out to see Mook, that wasn't even the best battle on the card that had everybody lit. Just to put in perspective, the battle that everybody
was
talking about was Enes
versus
Mike Bond.
Right, but it wasn't a good back and forth, not because of Mook. Because, Young Hot didn't play his position to have a good back and forth a la Chilla Jones or JC, you know what I mean?
It was total domination on Mook's part. It was a one-sided blowout. This was a 30-point, 30-zip, 3-0. It was a complete wipeout. So when you even think of that card, Rex battling Tech N9ne, my song battling Enes. When I look at that card, I go to the Mysore Enes battle. Jay Mills was in the builder for that one. There was like, nigga, that battle was a big deal. Like, everybody was in there, you know. So that is.
Now, here's the thing now. He went through a layoff after the Young Hot battle. Now, as that layoff is going on, Sean, you and I are watching. This is before Smack got the beard. We're watching URL progress. We're watching new players come onto the league. We're seeing new faces. We're seeing new bars. We're seeing the emergence of the Midwest movement. We're seeing other guys, should I say, take over the baton, so to speak, even though people still want to see Murder Mook. You bring in Math Hoffa. T-Rex really took the baton and ran with it, in my opinion, while Mook didn't want a battle, while he made it seem like battling wasn't cool at one point, or he surpassed that. He played the field and watched everybody battle. He was at every fucking event. We've seen him right there behind Head Ice when Young Ill and Sue Surf was battling. We've seen also footage back in the day of people calling him out. And he did not want to battle for a long time. Gnome 1 goes by. Summer Madness 1 goes by. He's not on none of these cards. what is going through your mind as the battle rap culture is uplifting and he's not battling and we're seeing new faces?
I desperately wanted to see Murder Mook battle the first wave of Smack URL battle rappers. It wasn't that he took a long layoff. He took a layoff that is equivalent to missing your entire 9th to 12th grade year. He battled Young Hot in 08. He battled Young Hot in 08. From 09, the entire calendar year of 2009, 10, and 11, that's three straight years.
Jesus.
Where the Midwest movement comes into effect, Sue Surf comes into effect, Hollow the Don comes into effect, Math Hoff comes into effect. Everybody from that first year actually made names for themselves, and they were battle rappers that had followings that could draw fans. Calico single-handedly made himself that nigga, talked himself into getting a Loaded Lux. I desperately wanted to
his body. What do they talk? You know, his body of work also played a part. When they talked his way into it, it made it seem like he finagled his way to get Lux, and he didn't deserve it.
No, he showed so much disrespect for Mook that in battles like, what do you mean he didn't deserve it? He was a new dude. Smack, who is this nigga? That's who Calico is. Calico is the who is
yeah, but he's going through, but at the time, he's three-zipping newborn, having a
time
dope
out,
battle with fucking Rich Dollaz, having a good battle with Young Hill. You know what I mean?
Wait, that's just the right, his third battle with Young Hill. And Smack, who is this nigga? That's who he was. So does he jump the card and immediately get Murder Mook out of retirement or out of his hiatus? But because he was so convincing and how he did it, so much swag, so much bravado, because when he battled Kayshawn and Mook is standing behind Kayshawn, and he's like, and he says, when he tells that story about Murder Mook, and Mook gets all in his feelings and wants to stop the battle, I'm like, no, it didn't happen. And all
yeah, I think it was tight.
Calico knew what he was talking about. He wanted Mook, and he was calling him out to the carpet. In the early era of URL, Mook used to be all the battles, standing behind Kayshawn, standing behind Rex. Everybody constantly called him out because he was the one who influenced all of them. So if there's an impact, that's the impact he had on the early era of URL battlers. Everybody wanted to battle him. Mook could have battled anybody he wanted to battle.
Now, so as he makes his comeback, the Summer Madness 2. And remember now, Sean, at that time, you were in the building for that. You were in the building for Summer Madness 2. They're building his legends against the new guys. And Iron Solomon at the time, man, he was fire. Like, Iron Solomon to me was dope coming off the fucking classic with Ines. I love that battle. So they decided to have the main event, Murder Mook, Iron Solomon. Stipulation is this, Sean, we're going to implement old school rules and have 5 rounds. At the time, I'm sitting there like, 5 rounds? When the last how many years I'm watching niggas do 3 rounds? And we're going back to old Smack DVD era stipulations of 5 rounds? My nigga, you could say this better than anybody else because you were there live. I'm watching, first of all, on Twitter that night, they made it sound like when I'm reading on Twitter that niggas are leaving the building because of this battle. Battle did not live up to its hype. And I had Mook win that battle clearly 4-1 or 5-0, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Not in a stellar win or a replay value, I should say.
Well, one of the things about Smack battles, URL battles, is that they can run a long time. This was still when the battles were in Webster Hall. This battle came on late at night, man. I mean, it was the last battle, and it was late. Mook got his 5-round stipulation, old school rules. And to his credit, he dissected Iron Solomon, broke him down, and
did he break him down or the angles he took? He took a good angle with the George Zimmerman shit. But what were you thinking about? Hold on, you were in the building for that shit. You throwing Skittles on the stage, like. R.I.P. Trayvon Martin. I get it, my nigga. But
I know he broke Iron Solomon down because Iron Solomon damn near wanted to fight the way Mook was sunning him and playing him. And Mook kept his composure. You got to give Mook a lot of credit for that battle. Mook kept his composure because Iron Solomon stepped to him. Straight up, just stepped to him. And Mook was like, yo, chill out, man. Just back up, man.
I wasn't feeling that battle. That battle has no replay value.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
And let me tell
battle.
You, let's keep it real, man. We're going to keep it real. Mook, you wanted this battle. You asked for Mad Bread, and you had the worst battle on that card. That was the worst battle on the card.
So, the funny thing about that battle, which I thought was going to be the future, Mook called out Surf. He called him out in that battle.
And for what? They still ain't battle.
And you're thinking, oh, man, this is crazy. Mook is back in battle rap. That's all I took from that. Okay, Mook got his 5-0. He got his victory. Yes, people left. Fine. But I'm thinking, okay, Murder Mook is back in battle rap. The reason why I thought that is because everybody on that Summer Madness 2 card who was a legend who came back and they became battle rappers full-time. Everybody. Iron Solomon, Ines.
Luck wasn't full-time, though.
Sivis Jones. When I say full-time, I mean they still battle today. Every last that card still battle today, and they did not stop battling ever again after that, except one person, and that one person was Mook. Now, you know.
He was masquerading around here like he did damage to Iron Solomon. He got his bread. Battle was not that great. Another long hiatus he takes. Still running around saying he's the god of this shit. Didn't battle Surf, didn't battle Hollow, didn't battle Verb, didn't battle a lot of niggas.
They all deserved a battle against him if he ever decided to battle. They all deserved it. They deserved a battle against him. You know.
My nigga, let's keep it real. What's Mook's legacy?
What I highlighted at the beginning, his Smack DVD era and the fact that he influenced the first wave of the 2009-2010 class of URL battle rappers. Now, here's the thing, and this is why I say fuck the industry when it comes to battle rap. The industry doesn't know a motherfucking thing about battle rap. This is me talking. The industry does know nothing about battle rap. They're just it's a subculture of hip hop, and to them, they like they're out the loop. Okay, so Total Slaughter comes. So you got Joe Budden, Royce the 5'9", who because of the Smack DVD era, because of his impact. So it's this great genius idea. Hey, let's do a rematch with Loaded Lux. 2013, a rematch with Loaded
Nobody
Lux.
Nobody
wants
to see that.
Doing.
Let's keep it real. Nobody wants to see that.
I agree. But this happens when the industry comes in and tries to dictate what they think battle rap is. Industry niggas, in their mind, when they think battle rap, they're like, oh, Murder Mook. Why do they
it
think
should
that?
Have been Mook and Surf. It should have been Mook and Surf. I'm sorry. You can't have Mook and Surf. I take that back. You cannot have Mook and Surf on Total Slaughter. That's a URL battle. That's just what it is.
There's no such thing as a URL battle. Because Hollow
When I say URL battle, let's be real. Mook only battles on URL. You get what I'm saying? It makes sense for that battle to happen on URL. Now, I know you say Lux and Hollow was on UW. It should have been on URL. It was on UW. That's the only point I'm making. Right.
We're talking about Lux and Hollow was on UW. Surf and Shotgun Sug was on UW. Those were battles that definitely should have been on URL. But they were on UW.
Hey, man,
So that's why I say there's no such thing as a URL battle, because there was some great battles that happened that should have happened on URL and didn't. But back to the Total Slaughter thing. So he battles Loaded Lux. My man, you want to talk about a battle that had no replay value whatsoever?
That was the battle that had no replay value whatsoever.
So are we saying, so back-to-back battles are no replay value then, basically?
Well, to me, that battle had no replay value. And the Iron Solomon battle is not a
and
battle
Iron
that
Solomon.
And that is a battle that I, okay, so let's put it in perspective. If you go to URL.TV right now, Murder Mook's most famous battle against J Mills is at 1.2 million views. Tayvok's battle with Hollow is at 1.1, and it's been out for a week and a half. Because that just to show you the different mindset and state of battle rap. Battle rap now is completely a new landscape, completely different. We're not 80s. This is not the Showtime Lakers. This is not Jordan and the Bulls. This is a completely new era. Mook's impact was in the mid-2000s, and it was a great, historic, legendary impact on battle rap. But in the modern era, there are several MCs who have done more for battle rap, have a bigger impact on battle rap than Murder Mook in present day.
Is he Mount Rushmore?
No.
Wow. Not at all. Not even because of his early contributions that you highlighted a second ago. Still wouldn't put him on there. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just asking. You would not. If somebody says they got some people got Mook on their Mount Rushmore.
Here's why. Let me just say this, and this is no disrespect to anybody who has Mook in their Mount Rushmore. Y'all niggas got to give me a fucking break. You just have to.
What do you mean? He's one of the forefathers. He's one of the legends.
So here's the thing. So here's what I'm going to explain to you. I don't rank Murder Mook over J Mills. You know what I'm saying? I knew J Mills. I knew E-Ness as battle rappers before Mook.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
All these other niggas would rather battle Mook. Ball, you say that though, my nigga. But other niggas would rather battle Mook than the J Mills and them niggas, man.
No. But my point
Castro,
is this,
the niggas like that.
No. It's not, I didn't say Cy Castro. I did not say Cy Castro. I said
I'm just throwing
the
name out there. I'm just throwing out early niggas.
So I'm throwing this name out there. There's no way I can put Mook over J Mills in terms of saying who pioneered or who came first, because he wasn't first. He wasn't first. That's just a fact. I mean, you can't dispute that. No one can dispute it. J Mills was first. J Mills was on Smack DVDs first.
I think Murder Mook meant more to the culture than J Mills,
first.
My nigga. I think Murder Mook meant more to the culture.
That's not
than
what
J
I'm
Mills.
Debating you. And I'm not debating.
Yeah, but you have,
like,
I'm
not debating
I'm not saying you're not debating that, but you cannot just highlight that and just sweep that under the rug like that means nothing.
Here's
you know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
About a month and a half ago, you and I spoke to Arsenal. And did you hear the way Arsenal was talking about Mook, my nigga? Like, he had anger. Like, nigga, I still want, like, he wanted to beat his head in with bars, not physical, just on the bars aspect of it.
So did Mav, and so does John when they talk about him. Do you know how disrespectful battle rappers feel? Do you know how disrespectful battle rappers feel that for the last 8 years they've battled their heart and soul out? Low information people who don't know a goddamn thing about battle rap will be like, but Mook's the best. Mook's the greatest. And they're like, my dude, where have you been the last 9 years? What are you watching? You know, Disaster just did a battle with Oxy. Well, before that, Low Deluxe battled Arsenal. After that battle, everybody's talking about it. But guess who had something to say about that battle? Murder Mook. Yo,
right.
Arsenal was supposed to battle me. Murder Mook.
I didn't like
Arsenal
that move.
Was supposed to battle you. Murder Mook, if Arsenal was supposed to battle you, you and him would have battled. Arsenal came on this show and broke it down. What exactly happened? So that's
right.
You clearly threw your name into it. For what? You're not battling, so your name should not ever be mentioned. Then again, Diz has a battle that's going to be one of the most watched battles in the history of battle rap against Oxy. And what happens? Oh, I'll battle Oxy. Oh, you will make me battle Oxy? Like, why?
But to be fair to the nigga, somebody asked him a question. He just responded, to be fair.
Oh, so I'm glad to know that he still wants to battle, because I wouldn't know he wants to battle because he hasn't battled anybody. That's why it's throwing me off. What's the point? Why are you highlighting that you should have battled Arsenal instead of Loaded Lux? Mook's legacy is two parts. There's the first part, the influence, the iconic legendary status of the DVD era, and then the mythical status of this era, where you have industry niggas like Busta Rhymes who don't know a motherfucking thing about battle rap. You got Total Slaughter guys who still living in the past, thinking about the DVD era, and they want to see you do rematches with niggas.
And then you have, I will say this, man. Mook, your businessman skills in battle rap is the Archie Bunker Award. You want to talk about leaving so much money on the table that you could have made. Like, I know you're trying to do music, my nigga, but the type of music that you do, my G, the young boys ain't trying to hear that. I keep it tall. The young niggas is not trying to hear that. My son is 14. He ain't trying to hear that kind of the bars you're trying to spit. So I don't know how you just don't battle. It's like you scared to. I just feel at this point, Mook is just scared to lose. He doesn't want to have that on his docket.
And it's not that he's scared to lose. In the era of the non-judge battles, you are going to lose. And this is what I mean. You're going to have people who are going to say you lost. It's not going to be a general consensus where there's 1,000% everybody says you win. Because the people you would potentially battle have a following, and they are dead nice. I really desperately wanted to see you battle Surf. I really desperately wanted to see you battle Arsenal. I really desperately wanted to see you battle Math. I really desperately wanted to see you battle Hollow. Like, I want to see
how you ain't battle Hollow. That's crazy. Yo, my nigga, isn't it battle rap blasphemy that Hollow and Mook has never battled?
No.
Yeah, that's
not
crazy to think about it.
He's not trying to battle. If you're not trying to battle. I mean, this is why I have so much respect for Lux. Because Lux will negotiate you to the death. He's going to get every penny you want. He's going to negotiate you down. But the thing you know about it is on some Floyd Mayweather shit, he's going to fight you. Like, Floyd ain't scared. You just got to get through the negotiation. He wants to fight you. Loaded Lux got paid. Loaded Lux gets paid when he battles. But he wants to battle. See, that's the only thing I can come out of this. If Mook wanted to battle in this modern-day era, he would. And if his defense is, I did battle, I battled Iron Solomon, and I battled Loaded Lux. If that's what he's counting as, he's battled in this modern era, nobody's going for it. Nobody's.
Do you think he battles in 2018?
I don't know, man.
Do
not know. No.
Wow.
So much money in battle rap has been here for him.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say Mook battles in 2018.
Okay. All right. I mean, think about this, my nigga. Cassidy battle disaster. Just think about that. Cassidy battle disaster. And now let's get back to this point. Mook, we highlighted in the DVD ever how he called out Cassidy, established, well-known. And you know how badly he wanted that battle.
Yeah, but
how
Cassidy went for the bag. Let's be real, my nigga. He got paid, what, $250K, I think it was, to battle Disaster, some in that kind of numerical payday, something to that effect.
Check it out. He did do that. But Cassidy was not afraid to battle Disaster. In Cassidy's mind, Cassidy still believes he's one of the best battle rappers.
I feel Cassidy battled for the bread first. I feel he battled for the bread first, then the opponent. And he wanted to take on, test his waters, and he said, listen, Cass, I always said, no disrespect to Disaster, but I'd rather you battle one of the, like, J-Rock, Goods, or somebody to Shug, or somebody to that effect, before you battle Disaster. Neither here nor there. So, man, that's what it is, man. Our first battle rap appreciation, my G. Take us home, my nigga.
Hip-hop, PSA podcast, hip-hop appreciation. Now, as you guys know, battle rap appreciation.
And we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing battle rap appreciation.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
NBA talk.
Yeah, battle rappers don't get mad at us, man. We just giving our opinions, man. There's pros and cons, but still appreciation.
When we do our appreciations, it's from a historical standpoint because we are hip hop historians. So what you got
right.
was a hip hop historian viewpoint because me and Dre are fortunate to be old enough to have lived that era, purchased, and we can talk
right.
about it. And that's what we do.
Super fast.
That's PSA Podcast. You want to hear some great interviews? I will highlight one interview that I think is great. Cortez interview on PSA Podcast. If y'all have not heard that one, y'all need to listen to that one again because it's still that is still a hot debated topic, the KOTD chain. Great interview. Check that out. PSA Podcast, niggas.
We out. One.